Welcome to MM Plays, our podcast where we design, play, and discuss a game and campaign. Along the way, we will alternate episodes between actual play adventures and the analysis and discussion of games and design theories that relate to the campaign we're playing. For this campaign, we'll be using the mechanics of Cortex Prime, designed by Cam Banks. We randomly selected a theme and ended up with swashbuckling high school urban fantasy. So, join MM Plays as we explore and enjoy a new campaign.
I'm Chris Nizak, and I'll be playing Silas Flamesworth, son of the Flamesworth family with the frozen and fiery intertwined soul.
I'm Old Man Logan. I'm playing Henrik Gunny Gunderson, son of the enigmatic Winter Wind and rookie elemental mage.
My name is Jerry, and I'm playing Santiago Zircon. He is the rebellious and reluctant scion of a powerful magic family.
I'm Phil Vecchione, and I will be your GM.
Welcome back. We are set up for another installment of Prospocalypse Now. Our safety tools are on the table, the X card, the rewind, pause, and fast forward buttons from script change. I think we have handed out plot points so you won't hear them clatter around the table as I normally forget when we start. And the teens, you are all coming together. It is Wednesday afternoon, and Victor, Mr. Flamesworth, to you and Dad to you, Silas,
true,
has asked you guys to come to the house. He's at home, and you were going to meet up anyway, so you guys can meet up at Silas's place.
By the way, I have a D8 angry at Erlis.
Oh, hang on. I got them all. Mesme's got fatigue.
She might not have any more. She took a nap.
She did. Getting paranoid. That is on the table. That is the direct result of pinging around looking for Gabby and Jesse.
Gabby and Jesse are getting paranoid.
Your anger is showing. Just sent it over to you. Easy money is easy, my friend.
Word.
There you go. And then a couple that these are still going to be possible to use, which, oh no, actually this one won't be. Paula was looking for real estate out of downtown. You actually know the answer to that. But the one that could still be useful for future assets, this ritual needs more cash than essence. I'm going to keep that out there. There may be creative uses for that as we get going. So I will leave that out there for you for right now.
All right.
All right. So yes, Silas is a bit upset.
Only with Erlis.
Correct. Well, you've had a confrontation.
I did.
It's okay. That's going to be a relationship that's going to need some work to navigate.
I mean, I did spend most of the rest of the morning punching a punching bag.
Yes.
Hey, that's good for stress relief. So.
Okay, we'll bring you guys together before you go in to see Victor. So take a moment to chat with each other and then go to Victor's office.
When you guys get to my place, I am freshly showered. My hair is still wet. I am dressed, obviously.
Morning.
What's going on?
We brought coffee for everybody if you want it.
You see your dad?
Yeah.
How is he?
Tired, but he's good.
That's good.
He, you know, he made it out, so that's the most important piece.
You tell him that Caswell tried to bang your mom?
Not in those words. Thank you for that visual.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, of course you did. Appreciate it.
Don't you miss these conversations?
Oh, always. Always.
Right, T? Right, T?
Always good.
So, how's lunch with Erlis?
Excitingly flameful.
Ooh, are you sparking fire again?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. I think that's a thing.
No, it's bad.
I mean, you know, you're supposed to be a fire dude.
I'm supposed to be...
Manifest some fire?
A controlledly, emotionally controlled fire dude.
Well, yeah, but you're still relatively fresh to it.
That was a terrible sentence, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know.
We're teenagers. Nobody expects us to be under control of our emotions.
Point.
We're lucky we haven't electrocuted, blown down, set fire, or frozen half the people we've encountered the last couple of times we got upset.
That's not inaccurate.
I think the fact that we haven't killed anybody yet is a testament to our self-control.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in mine and Gunny's case, since, you know, we've only had these powers for about 6 months.
I'd rather be lucky than good. Isn't that what they say?
It almost feels like we're the main characters in a story.
Almost.
I mean, I've had my powers for longer than you, and you've seen how well they've served me.
I mean, you're really good at rituals.
You are.
Occasionally.
I feel like that's going to be in the yearbook. In the secret yearbook?
It's like, secret yearbook.
The meta joke is he fails rituals like almost every single time, so it's really funny.
I know, but we always tell him he's good at rituals.
Yeah, he's really good at rituals. Where's Bo?
She's at home with her parents.
Okay.
We said that she needs to spend some time at home and let her do her thing, because the three of us will come up with some information and fill her back in again. But she's got to spend some time kind of getting her life back in order. So
I figured with, you know, the Prospocalypse coming, maybe we should all have all hands on deck. But that's important. I get that.
I think there's a moment we cut to with Bo and T in the car. And Bo's like, I don't think I can go into the Flamethrower house. Like, he's scary. Like, he's really scary.
I got you covered.
Maybe I should just go home for a bit and then I'll just catch up with you.
Yeah, you should probably tell your parents what we're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And she gives you like a big hug. Like, he's really scary.
It's okay. He'll be fine.
My mother would have loved Bo. I don't think she's ever met her.
Oh, we'll get her over here someday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, providing we survive the next couple of hours, so.
Shut your mouth.
I mean, at the end of the day, even if they manage to summon a prosperity elemental, we all don't die instantly.
No, no.
I mean, the cult might kill us.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah. I'm less concerned about the prospocalypse itself and more about the cult itself, who I think we'll take them, but just, you know, just keep open. I just like to keep an open mind that there are other possibilities out there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that the Veil figures out who the mole is inside of their...
Yeah, that would be nice.
Be great, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then the adults could help us.
I'm sure they'll figure it out who the mole is half an hour after we solve the problem.
You're not inspiring any confidence here, T.
No, I said after we solve the problem.
That's not inspiring confidence.
No, we will solve the problem, then they will find the mole.
You know, we've solved like a lot of problems. Like
that's what I mean.
I'm good with trying to solve this one too, but it'd be nice if we didn't have to.
Or at least got some, you know, big time help.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but if we weren't doing this, I mean, what would we be doing for the next week between prom and graduation?
Studying for exams.
Yes.
Man, I should probably start doing that.
Silas just glares at you. You haven't started studying yet?
No, I kind of, like, my brain doesn't work that way. Like, if I study too hard, like, everything just gets crumbled up in my brain, I forget about it. So the way I pass my exams is I pay attention in class, and then I read everything the night before, and then take the exam with whatever's left in my brain.
So you're going to UB?
Yes.
All right, way to go, Stevie.
As an employee of the State University of New York, I'm not sure I can condone this kind of...
Don't worry, I'll be right there with you.
Fourth wall break? That's actually how my brain works. I can't study.
The door opens to the office. Gentlemen.
Mr. Flamethrower.
Come on in.
Hi there.
Silas.
Hey, Dad.
Look, rather fresh.
Yeah, I feel okay. I mean, I had a little incident at Erlis's place earlier.
On the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I need to drive over to intervene between you and the Queen of Hoarfrost and Woe, and 1 being just a minor faux pas, like, you know, knocking over a glass at the table. Where are we?
How does unintentionally flicking off fire from my body rate on the scale in her home?
Did you set anything on fire?
No.
Like a 2-3.
She looked pretty upset.
She doesn't like fire.
I mean, I didn't mean to do it.
I didn't think you did.
I was just kind of mad.
Okay, then a 3.
She definitely brings that out in a number of people.
Yeah.
I have also set things on fire in her presence. Which is probably why she looked upset.
What is that on the scale? Setting something on fire in her house? Is that like a 6?
No, I've never done it in her house. I've done it in like Veil meeting rooms and stuff. It goes without saying, Erlis has made me upset in several meetings and some of them recently.
You know, I really need to know, why does she have the name Queen of Hoarfrost and Woe?
It's an old term from around the time Buffalo was founded, when Erlis still walked freely around this area. She likes the cold and the suffering that went with it.
Wait, is she the queen of the Queen City?
Oh, I don't think we want to attribute that to her. Like, that's the kind of thing that goes to somebody's head.
I just think it's cute how you guys are like, I get angry with her when everybody else is just terrified.
Well, Mesame did say that she's a princess, so.
Yeah, it's not like we're not terrified of her power. She's an immensely powerful elemental and mage.
I'm always terrified. I don't know, maybe I'm just too stupid.
No, it's good. You can't let her push you around like that. She banks on the fact that most people cower to her. Every now and then you have to stand up to her. I'm not encouraging you to do that at your age, but from time to time it requires you to dig in your heels.
That is a fact.
I mean, we're all terrified of you.
And you should be.
And we don't always do what you... We sometimes do things that tick you off. We don't always do what you tell us to do, so, you know.
He glances at you for a second with kind of an interrogating stare.
I'm going to admit, I have gone past terrified, and I've moved down to respectfully cautious.
Well, let's see what we can do about bumping that back up. He smiles.
It wasn't a challenge, sir.
Come sit. There's a couple candles out.
Uh-oh.
And he looks, he smiles, and he's like, I'm just kidding with you. And he picks them up and puts them away.
I was going to melt those things so fast. I could do that now.
I'm sure you can. This house is fireproof, so... And this office is extremely fireproof.
I bet those candles weren't, though.
No, I have no wards on them. The candle's only just the focus of the ritual. I could do it with a set of matches.
Oh, clearly.
Anyway, I'm not here to wipe any of your memories or contain them or anything like that. Actually, I just want to catch up on where we are, and I want to tell you what I've learned from the Vale Central Council.
I feel like we're close.
But we're going to have to get a lot closer.
Okay.
Tell me what you know so far, then I'll tell you what the Vale Council is telling me.
They're planning on holding this ritual somewhere in the Gold Dome building, probably under the Gold Dome.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Big financial center right downtown.
Historical. It's been there since the 1900s.
Hub of the hometown finances. Right across the street from Electric Tower, right near the fountain. So you've got major elements right there.
That part makes complete sense. What exactly are they doing?
We'll find that out when Mesame gets here after she's done taking a nap.
Okay.
Erlis helped me figure out the answer to that, but I then flared up and left.
Okay. Well, you've been working very hard.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, look, this is... When we normally have junior guardian classes, this is not what you guys do on a normal basis.
I hope not.
Run down a loose monster here and there, cast a couple rituals. That's like the normal junior guardian's year. This has been an exceptional year.
Well, we're exceptional students.
Well, you're rising to the occasion, but you're also young mages.
When T says you're exceptional students, I just stop and look at T. Exceptional?
Yes.
He's really good at rituals.
That's all T says is yes, and just goes back to like facing everything else.
How about better than average?
I didn't say we're better than everybody else. I said we're exceptional. We're outstanding in our field.
Anyway, gentlemen, this is not normal times. Your senior years should be far more boring than this, I hope.
Yay.
But we are where we are. So, whatever you know about the ritual, it'll be important to learn. And what about the other two students from your class?
Getting closer.
As a quick reminder, the air elementals have scoured downtown Buffalo and have not found them in downtown Buffalo.
We have air elementals out looking for them, and we're hoping that we'll get a hit soon.
Okay. What's your plan when you find them?
Apprehend.
I like the way you think.
I mean, we could also just follow them back to wherever the ritual is if we don't know where that is yet.
That would depend on whether or not they're involved. They may be just laying low because of all the shenanigans that went on.
It's true. You find that mole yet?
The Vale Central Council wants this ritual to start. Let me tell you why. The Central Council wants this ritual to go off on Saturday. It doesn't want it to complete on Saturday. But here's the thing. We've been able to, we, the Vale, as a greater organization, have been able to locate a number of cells of people who are going to partake in this ritual. But we don't think we found all of them. But it'll be pretty impossible to hide a ritual of this magnitude when it starts. It's going to create disruptions in the Shroud, which will allow various members of the Vale to make their way to find these locations. So we're just going to let this happen. But the more we know about it, if we know where the location is, if we know the nature of the ritual, we can prepare to disrupt the ritual. Because once it gets started, if this ritual fails, it'll be very damaging for them to try to bring about an elemental again.
We're threading the needle.
It's a very bold approach from the Vale, but their fear is that we don't know enough of the cells in order to do enough damage to the ritual if we struck right now. We don't really know. We have a pretty good guess where it is now. We know a couple other places around the country, but there's got to be other places that we don't know. So if the ritual kicks off, it's going to go off like Roman candles everywhere. And it'll be pretty much impossible to hide, which means that the dragon cult has to be aware that they're going to get attacked at each of these ritual sites.
One would think they would have some kind of contingencies to delay any response by the Vale.
I mean, there's only one contingency at this point. I mean, it's walls and spellcasters. You can't shroud this thing. Right, Shroud's going to take a thrashing at something this magnitude.
Okay.
We need to keep learning everything we can. And we're just going to collect information quietly. That's why we're meeting here. Because as you guys have been collecting information, I'm going to just ingest it and dispense it to people that I trust. Now, with your dad back, I feel a whole lot better about where we are inside the veil. I can now trust a handful of people, for sure.
Okay.
Everybody else is just going to be kind of let on that work is undergoing, and we'll just keep things very compartmentalized.
Cool. So who can we trust?
You trust me. You trust Erlis. You trust Jurgen. And, of course, Ms. Cortez. Ms. Cortez is one of my most trusted people. Don't offer up any extra information to any other Veil operatives. I don't know to what extent anyone is part of this. It is possible that somebody is just a closet prosperity mage. It could be somebody just rooting for it, not even an actual cult member. Somebody may just want a change in the world order. We don't know yet. We'll take care of it. I need you guys to just collect info. The more we know and the more we can prepare, the better it's going to be.
Okay.
When you learn about the ritual, start thinking about what you can do to disrupt it. If we can find your classmates, they are bound to know something that's going to be useful.
I had another thought like about that, sort of.
Feel free to share with the class.
Yeah, well.
Way to bury the lead there.
No, I mean, it just occurred to me. It's like, wait a minute, this is Gabby and Jesse we're talking about, right?
Uh-huh.
They were like eyeballs deep in this whole prosperity thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And they're young and they're impulsive. I don't know if even like the top person from this prosperity ritual told them, you lay low and you don't do shit. What do you think the chances are they're not going to try a little bit of prosperity magic here and there to like, you know, make their lives a little easier while they're laying low?
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. I can buy that.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we mix a little prosperity magic thought in with the air elemental search, hit blend, and maybe jazz that up.
Know a prosperity mage?
Well, I kind of know a few things about prosperity magic rituals.
Victor noticeably sighs for a second, but doesn't actually say anything.
You want to use prosperity magic to find them?
It's not like I want to just, I'm going to just do a prosperity ritual. Ha ha. It's from an investigative perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's still prosperity magic.
Oh, I get it.
And in this case, I'm going to give you the dispensation you need. We need to find those two.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
I mean, it's an extreme situation.
I actually asked my dad that. He's already used it so many times. Aren't you all the ones that are saying this stuff's addictive?
It is.
Are you sure you're not just finding reasons to cast these spells?
It's not like I'm trying to put money in my pocket, right?
It doesn't matter what happens after the fact.
I mean, maybe I have to detox afterwards.
There's detox. We can send him to rehab.
All I'm saying is I'm willing to make a sacrifice for the greater good right now, even if it may cause me some trouble down the line, but I've got people that are going to watch my back and help me get through it.
Sure.
I'm not condoning this. I'm not condemning this. But if you go down this route, do it with some preparation and forethought. Don't cast this thing off the cuff for the reasons that Silas is saying.
Absolutely. I mean, if you guys think it's a terrible idea and you really, really don't want to do it, we won't do it. We'll think of something else, and if we can't come up with an alternative plan, we'll use it as a fallback, and we'll think it through very carefully.
I think it's a good plan B.
I mean, I don't have a plan A at the moment. I haven't really been thinking about it, though. I've been working on how this thing all works, so I just worry that if your first option isn't prosperity magic, usually your second option is prosperity magic. That's all I'm saying. I'm just worried about you, that's all.
I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that.
I'm going to let you guys get to work. Silas, find me later and let me know what you guys have learned and what's going on. Keep me up to date and just me.
Okay.
And then if you guys just have a moment, can I just talk to Silas?
Yeah.
What's up?
You're not wrong. It's addicting. And he needs help. And at the end of this, I promise you, the Veil will put its resources to give him the help he needs. In the meantime, keep an eye on him. If you're not comfortable with it, it's your call. Okay?
Okay.
If you think he can handle it, it's fine. And if he can't, we'll figure something out. I understand. And he is going to have to go to rehab. He's going to spend a portion of his summer having to unlearn that ritual.
The problem is I don't actually know what he can handle. I haven't actually hung out with him much in the last like month and a half.
Use your instincts. You've been doing great so far. Trust you.
Okay.
I mean, don't let him win a lottery.
I mean, this prosperity ritual, like it, even to find magic like that, you still have to conjure some amount of money to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how the magic works. It conjures wealth, not even money, just wealth in some way, shape, and or form.
Correct. It has a lore, right? You know the phrase, if all you have is a hammer, every problem's a nail?
Yeah.
Well, this is money. It's the ultimate hammer. Tell me a problem you can't solve with a suitable application of money. That's the danger of this thing.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on your friend. Trust your instincts. And like I said, he's going to get the help he needs at the end of this. He's got a little bit of a road ahead of him. It's not impossible other people have been detoxed from it. Jürgen's going to have to go through the same thing.
Okay.
Which might be good for them.
Maybe.
It'll be a father-son summer for him.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I don't mean that in a trivial way. It's going to be they're going to have to do some work.
I just don't want to get so far out of hand that he falls to the cult, essentially, to that kind of magic, to being that's what he is.
To that point, when this thing finally kicks off, of all the other things you're going to have to do that day, you're going to have to keep an eye on him.
Okay.
He's susceptible to all of this. I don't think he'll do anything to betray you, but he is addicted, whether he realizes it or not. And the largest source of his addiction is about to try to manifest itself.
Okay. Well, I will do my best to keep him from, oh man, it's such a cliche to say the dark side, but.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's exactly the dark side or not, but.
The prosperity side?
Yeah. I don't even think we can fathom the changes to society if this manifests itself. And I don't mean it'll like suddenly turn into a utopia, because that's not how anything has ever worked in history. Somebody will hoard. There will be haves and have-nots, and there will be people who have at levels that are beyond comprehension.
Good talk.
New plans?
Yeah, I mean, we just do what we've been doing.
When's Mesame supposed to wake up?
I don't know. Whenever she wakes up.
Okay, so it's a wait and see.
Do you, like, wake up from a nap at a specific time?
I don't know what time she started, so I'm just curious.
Feel any weird urges?
No.
Sure? You don't want to scratch her?
No. Could use a donut.
Okay, we can go get donuts.
That's what I should have done when I bought the coffee, is I should have brought donuts.
Where'd you get the money for the coffee?
Wow. It's a little harsh, don't you think? I do get an allowance.
Isn't it more like a salary? You work at that store.
It's not like, you know, I bought 400 coffees. I bought 4 coffees.
All right. Let's get some donuts.
Let's get some donuts. Sugar might help the process.
I think by the time you guys run out, get some donuts, come back, Mesame's up. Quick text. Hey, you.
Hey, did you sleep well?
A little bit after talking to my mom about flames and all sorts of things like that, but sure.
My dad said that's like a 2 on the scale of bad with Erlis.
Yeah, I think she's just putting you through the ringer.
That seems about right.
You rescued me, so she's probably always going to have a cold spot in her heart for you.
Isn't that warm? No, I get what you did there.
She puts a little smiley face. Ding.
Do you have the information?
I do. Do you want me to just tell you over text, or do you want to come pick me up?
I will come pick you up. Do you want some donuts and a coffee?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Gunny T, we're going to pick up Mesame. Do you have we're going to bring her that last coffee and some donuts.
Awesome.
Sounds like a plan.
More data.
I like Silas's text voice.
Yep.
Yeah. I will text Bo.
Done at Flamesworth House. Meeting Mesame for coffee and donuts, period.
Cool, I'll be there. Drop me a pin.
Are we meeting Mesame at her house, or are we meeting her at the donut shop?
I'm going to go pick her up.
And then where are we going?
To the donut shop.
Okay.
You're going to just sit in a Tim Hortons and hash this out?
I got Paula's, man.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Donut craze.
Paula's.
Paula's.
Donut craze is good too, but Paula's.
Get ourselves a fatty.
Split a fatty.
Yeah, but Donut Craze has Chicago beef sandwiches, man.
T, do you want a Chicago beef sandwich?
I mean, fake Chicago beef sandwich, but yeah.
I get on the texting thing and say,
tell Bo we'll go to Donut Craze.
Donut Craze.
We cut to Donut Craze. T sitting there with like 3 Chicago beef sandwiches.
And a cherry donut.
Mesame looks at you, poking her donut. You know, I spent 6 months in a crystal waiting for a Paula's.
I pull out a little bag with a Paula's donut and hand it to her.
She just takes it from you, smiles. unwraps it, just starts, takes a bite.
6 months from now, she'll be out eating it.
See, I felt you wanting that Paula's donut.
Yes.
Didn't get one for me.
We were at Paula's.
I know.
Why didn't you just ask me for one?
I did. I got one.
Then why are you giving me a hard time about it?
Because it's fun.
Oh. Did you buy that with your own money?
Wow. Is that a thing now?
Look, my dad wants me to spy on you essentially to make sure that you don't do anything stupid with prosperity magic.
Okay, that I get, but hitting me with it every 2 seconds isn't going to make me feel any better about it.
I don't like spying on people, okay?
All right, well, now you're not spying. You're okay. Just keeping an eye on me.
And if you cast any prosperity magic without telling me, I'm going to have to, like, I don't know, do something.
Absolutely. The only way I'm going to do any of that is if we absolutely have to and you say it's okay.
He's really uncomfortable with this, Mesame says as she takes a bite of her donut.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't. She takes another bite of her donut and pats her chest for a second. No, you don't.
Okay, I don't.
Okay, so let's not do anything stupid with prosperity magic. Let's save all of our stupid stuff for other magic, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we got tea. He's great at rituals.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I'm your go-to for stupid magic. So what's our plan?
We're going to find Gabby and Jesse.
Well, what's the information that Mesame needs to add to the equation?
That too.
Just takes a sip of coffee. Right. Conversation with my mom. Right? We were talking about the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
This ritual. If you think about it from the past rituals, the internet and the electricity, there are some things in common. In case Silas hasn't explained all this, I'll just start from the top. I got a history lesson from my mom, who happened to be at the World's Fair in 1901.
Your mom's old.
Timeless is what she'll tell you. I wouldn't call her old.
Accurate.
Not to her face, anyway.
That's one of those things that I think she's sensitive about.
Are you timeless?
I don't know. I mean, legitimately, I don't know.
Huh.
It's possible.
So you're going to look like this when I'm like 90?
I mean, I could maybe look a little older. No, I'll look older. My mom doesn't look like a teenager.
Yeah, she just looks, she's perpetually 35 and business chic.
Yeah, she does have a sense of style to her. All right, anyway, history lesson time. This I find pretty fascinating. All right, so let's talk about the electrical elemental. 1901, World's Fair. You need two things to pull off this kind of elemental ritual. You need some sort of event that is part of that concept, right? This is all conceptual magic. Prosperity, electricity, internet, those kinds of things. You need some kind of event that is in a magnitude that is beyond normal. In 1901, at the World's Fair, the fact that it was all lit by electrical lights was beyond anything that anyone had ever seen, right? The electric tower, all of that. Tell me you guys have seen some of these pictures before.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So beyond what anyone had ever seen, this event is occurring. During this mundane event, where this concept is really being expressed at a large level, you then cast the evocation to bring forth this concept into an elemental form. The ritual has to then occur in concurrence with this event, and then you basically force the concept into a life form. Now, in 1901, it almost worked, and it missed by a little. The element of electricity was very unstable because that being has to be housed somewhere. It doesn't like form into a person, right? It forms into what it is. So in this case, it formed into the element of electricity, but the only thing that was there to hold it was the, by our standards, primitive electrical system, an electric tower, which eventually it melted. And then it kind of like ran down lines and escaped and was kind of just a hot mess forever, which is why they tried again to bring around the concept of a electrical mage, but in this case, in the form of a computer. That's the late 1990s. Way back when.
Wait a minute, so electric mages and internet mages are the same thing?
They were supposed to be, but the nature of what it took form of made it so different.
Okay.
So electrical conceptual mages tried again.
That's what I thought.
So they needed something, an event massive enough, right? The birth of the internet.
And that was the virus thing that they did in the 90s.
The virus that they let loose, right? The virus is the, you know, the virus traveling across a network is the event. They brought it into formation. And then they had to put it somewhere. They put it into a supercomputer on the Stanford campus. But that computer was connected to the internet. And so when it took form, its actual final form was the internet.
Which is a concept about information distribution.
Right. But at its heart, it's still a concept about electricity. It's electrons moving from place to place.
So is the internet basically the stepchild of the electricity elemental then?
That's how my mom explains it.
Huh. Okay.
So conceptual mages still have their kind of their quasi-electrical element. It's unpredictable. It doesn't like take a stable form. You know, we've all seen electricity behave and do weird shit. Mm-hmm. That's the concept of electricity. Still that quasi-form. But they also brought about the internet as an actual elemental. But it, over time, that concept is less about the electrical portion of the internet, like the actual moving of little bits and stuff, you know, pulses through chips or whatever. I'm not a computer person.
Mm-hmm.
And then became about information. Because remember, these are conceptual mages. So however they perceive the concept of something is how it forms.
So are you saying that a conceptual elemental needs to have its basis in one of the primary elementals before it can become a conceptual elemental?
No. It needs to just be able to house itself in something large enough to contain it. It's birth is massive.
So that's why they're using the Gold Dome Bank, because it's a big building.
My gut feeling is it isn't going to manifest the Gold Dome Building. I think the Gold Dome Building is just a source of power.
Okay.
It's rooted in old money. It's near Electric Tower. It's in that neighborhood. It's a place where if you wanted to cast a ritual, it's a good place to cast that ritual.
It's also iconic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Iconic for money.
And iconic means something when it comes to magic.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, remember, it's a concept, right? Mm-hmm. It's the concept of prosperity.
So what's it going to manifest in?
It needs something financially large to be able to manifest itself into. That can take place while some sort of massive...
So we're talking like the New York Stock Exchange?
It could be something like that.
Do you think the massive dumping of blood money into actual cash is big enough?
Yes. Cash, possibly. But what if it was dumped into something that could also grow in value?
Right, but that's what I mean. They take that and they sell off all of that blood money in like seconds into somebody's, not like a 401k, but like some financial trading system.
Like the New York Stock Exchange or something like that.
Anyone can give me a clue check, which is just a D6 difficulty of school. School is going to be the appropriate setting for this because it's knowledge.
Sounds like geek to me.
And geek, thank you.
Probably be somebody with a better geek than me.
I'll do it. I don't care.
Where are my nerds?
I'm doing it. I am learning in spite of being talentless. Also, you know, Mesame sitting here helping me with this, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's roll those.
Oh, I have a 4.
I got an 18.
The New York Stock Exchange is exactly the right type of vessel. It is something that grows in value. It is massive, but it's not going to be functional on Saturday morning. But there is another vehicle that is cheap to produce, highly speculative in value, that you could dump a ton of money into to produce a bunch of prosperity.
So crypto.
Would make sense.
They're going to buy a massive shit ton of Bitcoin, Ether, or whatever the hell.
Pick one.
Yeah.
Or make one.
Oh, good.
Crypto.
Yeah, crypto.
I know how to stop them.
Okay.
I know how to solve the whole thing.
How?
It would be a big one, but somebody casts a prosperity ritual that diverts their blood money dump into the crypto into a numbered Swiss bank account controlled by the Veil.
Are you a prosperity mage that's capable of doing that? Also, once again, your first solution to this is prosperity magic. Just saying.
Again, it's an idea. I might not be able to handle it myself. I know another guy who could help if it had to happen.
Yeah, who?
My dad.
And I think your dad's kind of down and out.
I mean, he just needs a little more time to recover. You know, plan B, plan C.
Yeah, at least we have a plan.
Do we?
No.
It's plan B. We have a plan.
Well, we don't have a plan until we have a plan A.
I mean, if nothing else, we have a plan that we don't want to do, and that gives us some other direction.
It does give us some amount of direction. That's true. We still need to find Gabby and Jesse.
We do. But now we know what they're going to do. We have a pretty solid idea of what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're going to do some prosperity shit and then shove it all into a body. Well, not into a body, but coalesce it into a body.
It's got to be large.
Does it have to be a living body?
No, 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 no. The internet was housed inside a Cray supercomputer, whatever that is.
What do you house crypto in?
Blockchain.
What's blockchain?
Everyone pulls out their phone and Googles blockchain on Wikipedia.
Blockchain is a set of distributed computers that all work to maintain the register of the cryptocurrency. Each computer takes on an anonymous portion of the work and works to maintain the record of transactions. But it's distributed, it's unknown. This is why fascists and terrorists and stuff love crypto, is that this whole thing happens on a whole bunch of computers, and it can be something like you can donate a portion of your computer to run blockchain calculations for a given currency. It's super hard to pin down, and it's scalable. You can make the blockchain huge. It is a perfect incoming vessel for prosperity, etc.
So now that we know that it's blockchain, probably, we just got to find Gabby and Jesse.
Right now, all I've got on the Gabby and Jesse front is to reach out to the air elementals and go, what do you got?
So we got these air elementals. What else can we do to help find Gabby and Jesse? Anybody got any ideas? T?
Is there anything we can get from them that could help track them down?
I mean, didn't you already like raid all their lockers?
We raided their lockers for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was phase two.
Hey, Bo, what do you think?
I think we could put a ritual together. T's great at rituals.
Yeah, T's great at rituals. Mesame, thoughts?
I mean, I've heard T's rituals are excellent, but if they're out there, they're clearly hiding. We can't rely on any conventional stuff. If they're smart enough to avoid being captured by the Veil at this point, they're not using their cell phones. If they're using prosperity magic, they're using it carefully enough to just generate money, or they're running around with a big wad of cash.
What about looking for the opposite? Looking for the prosperity magic, looking for somebody who is trying to hide. Can we look for the absence of something?
But again, you have to touch the prosperity magic to go that route, I think. Here's a thought that isn't prosperity magic.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this, by the way.
Bo, how does the dream thing work?
Oh.
Could you reach out maybe while they're sleeping and poke around?
We could do a ritual, a dream ritual.
I mean, you and T working together, he's great at rituals and you're great at dream.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to go to sleep. They're going to dream at some point. We could attempt to view their dream.
If all of us who are familiar with them joined together and focused on them.
I don't normally pry into people's dreams, but I think we're in that kind of extraordinary times, right?
I mean, only if you're comfortable with it.
Yes.
Look, we're not going to go in there and trash it. We just need to go take a peek.
Yeah.
If at anything, I need to just prod them a little for a little visualization. A lot of times when you dream about stuff, you wind up dreaming about just weird tangential things, but there's ways to kind of poke a dream where I could make them think about like where they're actually sleeping, something like that.
I think it's a great idea. I think also, and tell me if I'm barking up the wrong tree, Phil, who searched their houses? Was it just Veil agents? Because what if we went and looked? I mean, what if they hid their stuff in places that we would better know to look for it? What if we went and checked their houses, like checked their rooms, checked their basements, check their secret spots.
So I would say if you guys want to do that kind of search, you could certainly build an asset out of that because you would certainly know what to look for more than a bunch of adults.
Would that build an asset or would that build part of the clue?
We could do either. You could build an asset for the ritual or you could attempt to score a clue.
Attempt to score a clue that way.
Yeah, I think either one's legit.
My thought would be that maybe one of them actually kept a paper journal. Instead of like typing all this stuff down and would maybe keep that somewhere. Teenagers do still do stuff like that, I think.
I think that's fair.
Popular media has told me that teenagers still do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be perfectly fine. You'll just, you know, you need to be able to get in the house and go search around.
Yeah, just go ask their mom and dad if we could look around.
Mm-hmm. So those are definitely two avenues that you could pursue.
Well, if we're going to do the dream thing, we got to do it at night anyway when logically they would be sleeping.
Yes.
So we have time between now and then to go try and search one of their houses.
Or both.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it late at night, 4 a.m.
Okay.
All right.
Statistically, they're likely to be asleep at 4 a.m. If they're night owls, if they're out doing something and we go in too early, we won't find them.
Right.
But 4 is pretty much when everybody is taking a rest.
Okay.
All right, look at us. We have a plan A.
I like plan A. Well, I mean, we have plan Gabby and Jesse.
That's plan A.
I actually don't have a good plan for destroying or disrupting the ritual. In fact, I think we should just, I'm going to go tell my dad what we just found out and see if he has any thoughts.
We should definitely fill your dad in.
Step one, I'm going to go see my dad.
Perfect.
I don't know if anybody's coming with me. People can if they want.
I'll go.
We can all go. I don't care. Unless T wants to take Gunny home for a little while so that Gunny can run into Amethyst. Because we don't got anything to do until tonight.
Oh, that would be interesting, too. Yeah. Why don't you come with me when the three of us go home? I'm sure my parents would love to hang out with Bo, too.
Okay.
Because we got nothing else to do until 4 a.m.
Unless you wanted to go search their houses.
I'm going to go talk to my dad to see if that can be set up. I mean, yeah. There's no reason for us to show up at somebody's house when we have the veil that can be like, just ask permission.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Victor, who's working from home, he's in his office when you guys come in. It's like an hour or two later. You guys were all hanging out, having donuts.
We cut to just in the office. I've just finished explaining to him everything.
Nods, looks at you. That all makes perfect sense. The selling of the cryptocurrency is just the event. There won't be anything magical about that. That's just a large prosperity event to occur, which is exactly what Erlis was saying about the electric tower.
Yes.
That's going to happen. It's the ritual that's going to occur on the tail end of that that's going to try to bring about prosperity as an elemental into that blockchain thing.
NFTs are evil.
Yeah, I guess.
Stupid video games try to use that stuff. It's terrible.
I'm with you. Which there was rumors that Call of Violence was going to start selling NFT weapons that was being floated by the developers for an upcoming version. Now you might know why. So whatever's happening here has less to do with the selling of the crypto or the blood money or whatever that stuff is. So the event's going to take place online. That all makes perfect sense, which means that the ritual is going to be the manifestation part, capitalizing on this sale of blood money.
Yeah.
If we could know a little bit more about what the exact parts of the ritual are or how it's going to be laid out or whatever, that's definitely going to help. But even just that, I'm going to communicate that back to the Vale Central Council. That knowledge is important. And there have been some magical scholars who've been theorizing along the same lines. But this, for sure, gives us a much better idea of what they're setting out to do.
Like I said, we'd like to go and take a look around Gabby and Jesse's homes, if that's possible.
Yeah, I can make that call to both of their parents and just say that you want to come over, that you're helping out. They're pretty distraught that their kids are missing. Tread carefully.
Of course.
So it's mid-afternoon, just before dinner.
We're going to go let my parents know that we're going to be staying out late tonight, doing some veil work.
But you're coming over now?
Bo's coming and Gunny's coming.
So 3 extra seats at the table.
2 extra seats at the table.
What about Silas?
Oh, he and Mesame are staying over at Mr. Flameworth's house.
Oh, great. Well, that's fine. It's pasta night, so I hope everybody's bringing their appetites.
Gunny, you like pasta?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't like pasta?
There you go, then.
All right, your dad's cooking. Come into the house. There's music playing. It is the normal, for you, the normal chaos of the afternoon. Your dad's home and has started cooking. The kitchen's got music on and there's all sorts of smells and noises and stuff as your dad's in there working away. He tends to sing to himself as he's cooking. Your mom is sitting in the living room. Your siblings are all about running up, and the younger ones running up and down the stairs. The older ones, you know, milling about as you guys come in. And your mom looks at you and she smiles and gets up and comes over and gives Bo a hug.
Hi, Ma. We're just here for dinner. We're going to go out tonight. We have some business to work.
Yeah, of course. Well, then by all means, you all need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Need to make sure that you are you have your energy, especially if you're casting tonight. And this one, she's so small and little, like you're going to be casting so late. Make sure you have an extra helping. Bo smiles. And
especially since she's the linchpin to our spellcasting tonight.
Well, good. Then you guys are free to hang out in your room, or if you want to go down to the basement and, you know, watch TV or something, you're welcome to hang out in here with me in the living room if you're, you know, want to hang out with your mom.
Does your husband need any help with dinner or anything?
Oh,
or?
No. He's got a whole thing going in there. It's better we just let him cook.
Basement's better. I think I've probably got some clothes in the dryer that need to be taken out and folded anyway, so I can do that while we're talking.
Ooh, how domestic.
Oh, hey, Bo. How are you doing? Hi, Henrik. How are you?
Hi, Amethyst. You okay?
I'll be right back. She runs up the stairs to go to the bathroom to do her makeup.
Okay, that was weird.
He leans over and just gives Bo's hand a little squeeze, little annoying couple squeeze. Like, she knows what's going on.
She nods and she's like, oh, yeah.
Let's go hang out in the basement. We're still a bit more private.
Okay.
Yeah, the little kids tend not to mill around in the basement. Like, the little kids tend to run around upstairs. So the older kids kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cooler place to hang out and, like, watch TV.
So we'll head on down and I get big baskets of laundry and sit there while we're talking, folding laundry and setting stuff aside. And
do you want a hand with that?
Sure, if you want him.
I mean, my folding skills are probably not, you know, top notch, but I've folded laundry before, you know.
It's folding's good. I'll always take a hand.
I mean, oh, team event. Bo grabs a shirt, starts folding.
A few minutes later, Amethyst comes down the stairs. She looks fine. Like, she did her makeup, but she isn't like, it wasn't like a whole explosion of anything like that. Hello.
Well, hi, Amethyst.
How you doing?
Good.
You guys folding laundry? Can I help?
Sure.
Grab a seat.
Fantastic.
Did you do something different with your hair?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. She looks different from 5 minutes ago.
It's so nice of you to notice, Henrik.
Please, you can call me Gunny. Everybody calls me Gunny.
Okay, Gunny, no problem. She sits right next to you.
Just keep folding and don't say anything, T.
So I hear you've been working as like an undercover veil agent?
I did do a little bit of undercover work, yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Scary as hell, but yeah, it was fascinating.
And I heard that you rescued your dad from some prosperity mages?
Oh, everybody was in on it. It was a team effort.
Oh, but T said you were such a hero.
He jumped through a magic circle and pulled his dad out of the circle.
Oh my God.
More like plowed through and just pushed him out the other side, kind of.
Oh my God, you're so brave. She like grabs your arm.
Isn't
he?
So brave.
I mean, without even a second thought, he just launched himself right into the circle.
I lucked out too, because I could have got stuck in there. It could have been the two of us in there playing blackjack like dummies forever.
I knew you could do it.
I hoped I could do it.
I knew you could do it.
I'm so impressed. Only a few mages I've ever heard of done anything like that and survived.
I think you give me too much credit, but I'll take it for now.
T.
Yeah.
I think this is the part where your dad needs a hand with the kitchen.
You want to help me carry the folded laundry upstairs?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll take that up. We'll pick up the laundry. We'll be back in a minute. Amethyst, do you want to show Gunny how to turn the TV on?
Sure.
Thanks.
Got a remote, don't you? It's like right there.
We grab the baskets and start heading upstairs.
You don't really want to watch TV, do you?
I don't know. My brain's kind of like fuzzy at the moment. All I had to eat today was sugar.
We have Netflix and we head up the stairs.
Okay, thanks.
That might have been a bit too much.
Yeah, Amethyst glares at you as you say that.
He gives her a big toothy smile and keeps going.
She makes like a face at you like, what are you doing? What do you think I am? So if your head's all fuzzy, I mean, we have some snacks.
I was kind of holding out for the dinner because, you know, real food instead of the
my
donuts.
My dad is making bow tie pasta.
Oh my God, bow ties.
I know. He's such a cornball.
That's ridiculous. They are cute together, though.
They are very cute. It's very romantic, those two.
The difference in T since they started hanging out, very noticeable.
Yeah, he's finally not trying to pretend to be a rebel anymore.
Oh my God, the whole rebel thing.
It's so stupid.
He was like, I'm such a rebel. Ooh.
He even dresses better now. I blame her.
Oh, I wouldn't say blame.
I mean, you know.
Credit where credit is due, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, the only time I dress that good. Well, yeah. Never mind.
We're up in T's room, putting away laundry, when Bo is like, so where do your favorite t-shirts go?
Oh, I hang them up in the closet. He opens a closet and shows like there's rows of t-shirts and they're all organized by color. So the black ones, the blue ones, the red ones, all that type
of
stuff.
I would never have guessed this about you. Silas, yes, you? I just did not picture color-coded t-shirts.
I didn't used to, but since you told me how to match up like tops with bottoms, you always have the right top with the right bottom.
You mean you did this? Oh, okay.
So now if I grab like the right bottoms, I can get the right color top and I don't have to think about it. So I don't end up showing up with something that's embarrassing to see.
Well, aren't you sweet? But I was wondering, and she kind of thumbs through, like just goes through the t-shirts until she stops on a particular one. Looks at you pensively.
He'll take it off the hanger, looks at her for a second. This one?
Yeah, she grabs it and kind of like holds it to her, and it's clearly like a dress on her.
Well, that would look adorable on you.
Can I take this home?
Sure.
I mean, this is the t-shirt you wore when you asked me to prom. And I just, you know, would like, you know, to sleep in it.
That'd be great. Yeah.
She quickly folds it up and just tucks it into her backpack purse.
That'd make me happy. He turns away real quick before she can see him blush too much.
She does like the same thing. Anime blushing, right? Just
and all the snakes on T's head are also blushing.
Correct. Snakes are all trying to look away.
So you're talking and you're talking and you're talking. And she's obviously into you.
Yeah, at some point you notice that Bo and T never come back downstairs. That just stops.
I think they abandoned us.
No, they didn't abandon us. I think you're just oblivious.
I can be like that, yes.
I'll just say it then. I like you, and I was hoping that maybe we could maybe go out sometime after the prospoclypse is over.
Okay. Yeah, I had no idea.
Give me your phone.
I should have taken you to prom.
Give me your phone.
Here.
She puts her number in your phone.
I mean, it's not like I couldn't get a hold of you anyway, but that's a good idea.
Inside your head, you're like, man, what a date I could take her on. Fancy restaurant, could rent a nice car. Hell, could buy a nice car.
That would be fun. I think I would like that.
When's the prospocalypse?
Saturday.
So if we all are still alive after Saturday.
God, I hope so.
You should take me out on Monday.
Yeah.
I know you don't drive, T told me. I will come pick you up. You pick the place.
Absolutely.
Kids, dinner's ready. Everybody come on up or down, wherever you are.
Okay, coming right up.
And then we go upstairs.
T will take out a second big oversized shirt and hand it to Bo. This way you don't get your clothes dirty. This could be pasta.
She laughs. She's like, oh, okay. She puts this big ass t-shirt on with some weird band name. Vent Magnetic.
Yes. Nice.
Vent Magnetic. It's a Vent Magnetic.
It's a Vent Magnetic t-shirt.
That's from the first tour, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a great shirt.
It is a great shirt.
Wimbo comes downstairs with that giant oversized shirt on. Amethyst shakes her head. She walks over. She does a few things to tie it up so it doesn't look like it's just hanging all over her.
While that's happening, Bo's like, did it work?
Yes, it worked.
They wind up like little high five.
I saw that.
Did you have to hit him with the...
Yes, I had to ask him out myself.
Yeah, well, told you. T was right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clueless.
I heard that too. Yeah.
She looks over at you and she's like, now just don't screw it up.
Well, thanks. Vote of confidence. I'm good.
It's a big dinner.
Oh, look, it's bow tie pasta.
Everybody at the, all the kids laugh.
Bo loves that.
She just turns and looks at his dad for a second, shakes his
head. Wink and a thumbs up.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Misdirect Mark Plays. Now let's do some Patreon shoutouts before we get out of here. Let's start with the Royal Court. First off is Tiffany Reynolds, the untitled Tiffany Reynolds. The Polish Ogre, our very own Polish Ogre. Lars Henrik Evjan, the Lord Out of Time. Jim Likes Games, the Royal Merchant Emeritus. Chromatic Chameleon, the Queen's Spy Mistress. J.T. Evans, the Queen's Librarian. Schmitty, the Keeper of the Labyrinth. Andrew Dacey, the Warden of Whiskies. That's a good one. John Carney, the Court Necromancer, bringing back those dead people. Tiberius Starcrash Smith, the Baron of Britannia. Maybe he's friends with the Green Knight. Then there's Eric Bontz, the Weregator. And Kevin Lovecraft, the Royal Beard. Now there's some other patrons that I want to mention right here. The Deliverator belongs to an elite order, a hallowed subcategory. Bridget, Athelus, Not That Billy Mitchell, Fiona, Kathleen Halperin, Christopher Gamelk, Michael Esperum, Joseph Null, Carlos, Heptilemma, Michael Draper, Cubano, Alice Kira, Jim Fitzpatrick, Brantley Harris, Steve Radabaugh, Richard Wyatt, Joseph Peralta, Brian Kurtz, Jared Rasher, Eileen Barnes, Brandon Barnes, Lee S., Tentacle Duck, Aaron Lakowski, Brendan Dennis, Padme's Lover, Ninjabi, Andy Olson, David Walker, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for being our patrons. If you'd like more content like this, check out polygamero.us. We are the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we help you play your best games. If you are interested in supporting this show and other shows on the Polygamerist Podcast Network, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/MMP. If that's not your thing, we'd still love your support by listening. We have Pandas Talking Games with Phil and Senna. It is car talk for your game. Ask them questions and they will answer them. There's the Gnomecast, gnomes giving their best GMing advice to help you play your best games, and they're also trying to avoid being thrown in the stew pot. Don't worry, if they die, we have clones of those who've passed away. Lastly, there's Thaka with Advantage with Ange and Jared. They talk about D&D topics while covering the history of the game and how it's evolved through the years.
With that, Misdirected Mark Plays is a Polygamers podcast production where we help you play your best games. Mic drop. We out.